Do you constantly find yourself going back into the same sin cycle over and over again, and you don't really know how to get out of it, and you feel all this shame? You don't feel good enough to come to God, and you just feel disgusting. Let me show you the advice that I learned and now applied to my life to experience freedom from that, and freedom from a lot of sin, specifically sexual sin, addictions, etc. I want to give you a quick example. So say that you have a little kid, and say that he's 7 years old. You keep telling little Tommy to quit getting cookies from downstairs. He's waking up during the night and he's going and stealing cookies. Get really mad at him. Does his disobedience make you not love him? Stay with me. Does his disobedience make him not your child anymore? No, because you can't change the blood. Hear me out. Why do us as Christians think that our disobedience can change our identity in Christ and how God sees us? I do get it that sin does affect our relationship with God, and it affects his trust. Like, shoot, you keep going back to that same thing. I'm not going to be surprised if you do it again. So if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much. And if you're unfaithful in the little, you'll be unfaithful in the much. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. But what we have to realize and understand is that our sin, we do not have the authority and possess the power to change how God of the universe sees us. You were first created for him to love you for plan and for purpose. I want you to realize, I just wrote this in my notes today, that God will not love you any better when you become better. Take a moment. When you become better, when you get the perfect routine, get in your word, pray every day, go to church, stop sinning, he won't love you better. He loves you 100% today. And it's his kindness that leads you to repentance. Take a deep breath. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. You have all that you need because he is your shepherd. Does this give you free will to sin and to do whatever you want? No. But what it does is this right here should go to the depths of your identity. First, you are a child of God before you are anything else. And I think a lot of us follow Jesus and we don't even realize, one, the man we're following, that he's our father, and two, our new identity in Christ. Because it says now that we're in Christ. I want you to realize that whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross for our life, do you know what happened? He came down, lived a perfect life because one, he knew we couldn't. So why are you still trying to live a perfect life? So he came down, lived a perfect life because none of us could, died on the cross for our sins, nailed every sin that you have done in the past, in the present, even potentially tonight, and 40 years from now in the future. He nailed all of those sins onto the cross and killed them. If you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, that he provided the perfect sacrifice. So one, our sin was imputed onto Jesus and onto the cross, killed it. And then what was imputed, which a lot of us don't get this, onto us is the identity of Christ. That God, now whenever we confess with our mouth and believe that he's Lord, he doesn't see us for our sin. He doesn't see us for the things that he does, but he sees us for what his son did for us. He sees the blood of Jesus over us. It's the same way that in Genesis 3, whenever Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were covered in shame and disgusting, full. They saw that they were naked and all these things. But what did Jesus do? Or God saw after them. And he said, hey, I know that you feel shameful and all these things. They confessed. They repented. He provides a way. He's so amazing the way that he does that. And what he does is he kills an animal, a perfect sacrifice, and clothes them in the animal skin, which that is foretelling what Jesus did for us on the cross. That when they look down, they see animal fur. So they don't see their sin and their nakedness. They see something covering them. And that is the same way in our identity with Christ, that whenever we believe in Jesus, that no matter anything that we could ever do cannot affect our identity or the love that Jesus Christ has for us. Take a deep breath today. When that sunk in with me 6 months ago, it was insane. And what I noticed, because hear me out, a lot of people want to hear this and be like, oh, okay, so I can just do whatever I want. I can sin and all this stuff. Just because you can do it don't mean it's good for you, first off. Spirit and in truth, right? We got to preach grace, but we also have to preach truth in the word of God. But I believe a lot of people are one on one spectrum, being really legalistic and following all these rules, all these laws, and there's no grace in all this. Some people who preach all grace and no truth. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, what is missing in those things?
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Is love. I was just listening to one of my friend, Bryce, teach about this. And like, there's two different spectrum of all these things. But at the end of the day, what they're both missing is love. And the Word of God says that God is love. His love is unchanging. And I want you to realize that the only thing that can ever change in your walk with Jesus is your ability to receive His love. That it's literally all about receiving. And I keep talking about this because Jesus did all the work. We just have to receive it and walk in it. You look at this plant right here. Say there's a leaf. This is kind of a bad example, but say there's a leaf on the side of it. Say that leaf decides that it wants to start, you know, collecting its own nutrients without the root of the plant. It's dead immediately. The moment that you stop receiving in your walk with Jesus is the moment that you go dry and you go dead. Because you cannot produce the fruits of the Spirit without the root. Without the roots. And what is the roots? Humility is the root of the fruit. But Jesus is the root. Like, He's the vine, we are the branches. We cannot produce anything apart from Him. That is why we are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You see the Bible constantly talking about us being in Christ. But a lot of us do not know how to live in Christ and in tune with the Spirit. And what that looks like is a life laid down, a life surrendered, a life submitted. If you want to become my disciples, you must, one, deny yourself. That's really hard when you want something, but you have to deny it and say, no, I want whatever you want, God. Pick up your cross, which is a torture device. You see what Jesus had to do. He got spit on whenever He was going up to die on the cross. He got made fun of. He got beaten like the most brutal death where you couldn't even tell that He's a human, and follow Him. Not your ways, but His ways. Those are three really hard things to do. But He promises us so much more. He promises us peace. He promises us rest. Come to me, all who are weary and carry a heavy burden. I'll give you rest. He promises us joy. You can have joy every single day. You can have peace every single day because we serve the Prince of Peace. And joy is something that is never changing. And that's what we have to continue to realize, that we can be sad but still have joy because we know where the end goal is, that Christ already has the victory, that the blood speaks a better word. So I just want to speak that over you, friend, that whatever you're going through, any trial, any situation of the enemy trying to tell you that you are not good enough to receive the Lord's love, and you got to clean yourself up to come to the Lord. I want you to realize that even on your best day where you feel the sinless, you've still sinned. And even on the day that you feel like you sin so much, He still sees you as pure because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. So this isn't an excuse for you to keep on sinning and walking in this, but what this is for me to tell you your identity as a child, because once you really know that a father loves you, somebody loves you so much, sees you, and is proud of you, you just want to keep living for them. You don't want to do things that is going to make them disappointed in you or going to hurt them. A lot of times we have to realize that if we're in the body of Christ, right? Christ is the head and we have different body parts. I want you to think about, say if you broke your arm. I break my arm right here. Oh crap. All my mind can think about is how I can get my arm to feel better. I need to go to the doctor. I need to take this medicine. I need to do all these precautions because I'm hurting. Since this is hurting, it's signaling to my mind. It's the same way with Christ in the body. Whenever you are hurting and you are going through something, it is Christ's nature to seek after you. It is His nature to want to help you, to want to heal you, to come alongside you, to comfort you, and to make it better. He can't control that. That's just who He is. He is love. And if you don't believe me, look at Genesis. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned, He's walking about in the garden saying, "Where are you guys?" The thing is, He already knew exactly where they were. But what He was doing is He's wanting to show you His heart posture. That when we sin and we actually are seeking Him, because some other people be sinning and they just want to live in their sin. But when you sin and you know if you're truly trying to seek Jesus, and you're like, "God, I can't quit doing this." His natural heart posture is to come after you and to love you and to come around you. Friend, I love you so much. Another scripture that I just been feeling the Lord before in this video is the word of God says that he gives you the garment of praise and casts off the spirit of heaviness. So if you're feeling heavy, if you're feeling weary, I want you to consider the man who hung on the cross for you. Just consider him. Take a deep breath. God, give me a fresh revelation of the cross. That when you're feeling burdened, when you're feeling heavy, worship, praise him. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at the things that are going wrong, but look to him. When you see Jesus getting tempted in the wilderness, he didn't focus all on Satan tempting him. He focused on the truth and the word of God. And therefore, because he did that, he walked out in his perfect purpose. But whenever you see Eve, whenever she got tempted, she fell because she didn't believe the truth. So I just speak that over you in the name of Jesus. I pray peace over you. I pray that you walk in your authority in Christ and your identity, because the word of God says that he's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I speak that over you, that where the spirit of the Lord is present, fear cannot be there. They cannot coexist because he is not giving you that spirit. It is not from the Lord. So we speak to that spirit of fear and we say, rebuke you in Jesus' name. I speak your full identity as a son or a daughter of the King. And I pray that would soak so deep in the depths of your spirit and the depths of your soul so you can walk into that identity. Jesus, I pray over that shame and condemnation. The word of God says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, God. I pray security over them, Lord. I pray that they know their worth and their identity in you, and they can walk in that. They can walk in joy every single day in the name of Jesus, Lord. And they realize that they have power, love, and a sound mind, Lord. They have power. You've given them authority to rebuke the enemy and to walk into freedom, Lord. You have given them love, Lord, because you are love, and we receive that, Jesus. Lord, in a sound mind, that in every moment and in everything, we don't have to be anxious about anything, but in prayer, in supplication, thanksgiving, and praise, Lord, that we can have peace every single day, Lord. So I release that onto them in the name of Jesus, and I plead the blood of Jesus over them for protection against the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.